Good morning. My name is Maria, and I will be your conference operator today. Welcome to Luxfer's conference call discussing the acquisition announcement of Neo Performance Materials. All lines have been placed on mute. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question-and-answer session. Now, I will turn the conference over to Doug Fox, Luxfer's Director of Investor Relations. Doug, please go ahead.
Thank you, Maria, and welcome. With me today are Luxfer CEO Alok Maskara and Heather Harding, our CFO. First, Alok will provide an overview of the transaction, followed by Heather's review of the financials. Alok will then return for some closing remarks. Today's webcast is accompanied by a slide presentation, which can be found in the investor section of Luxfer's website. We will refer to these slides throughout our prepared remarks. Before we begin, let me remind you that any forward-looking statements made about the company's expected financial results are subject to future risks and uncertainties. Please refer to slide 2 of today's presentation for further details, as well as the risk factors that are described in Luxfer's 20F filing for December 31st, 2017. After our prepared remarks, we have reserved time for questions and answers. Now let me turn the call over to Alok. Alok, please go ahead.
Thanks, Doug. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us today to discuss this very exciting development for Luxfer. Please turn to slide 3. We are pleased to announce a definitive agreement to acquire Neo Performance Materials in a cash and stock transaction valued at approximately $600 million U.S. dollars. The combination, which has received unanimous approval of both boards of directors, accelerates Luxfer's strategy to become a leading producer of highly engineered advanced material. It enhances our opportunities with access to high-growth technologies and customers while giving us a global footprint from which to expand in high-growth geographies. In particular, Neo expands our supply chain capabilities in rare earths, chemicals and oxides, and magnetic powder, all of which are attractive growth areas. In addition, the transaction increases our R&D capabilities with a combined world-class expertise in advanced materials. We very much see Luxfer as a natural owner of Neo Performance Materials, with a high level of business synergies and a set of common strategic objectives. We will continue to maintain our global leadership in high-performance gas cylinders and magnesium alloys. Also, this transaction strengthens our competitive position in zirconium-based chemicals for use in automotive and general industrial applications. Together, we have a unique opportunity to enhance profitable growth with increased exposure to attractive end markets and applications such as electric vehicles, LED lightings, medical imaging, and water treatment. Financially, the transaction is attractive to shareholders of both companies. Luxfer is acquiring Neo for approximately 8x adjusted EBITDA before synergies. It is accretive to Luxfer earnings per share without adding material debt leverage. Importantly, the IRR exceeds our weighted average cost of capital. The acquisition of Neo adds a strong management team and skilled professionals to the already strong Luxfer team. We also expect to add a couple of experienced and qualified board members from Neo to the Luxfer Board of Directors. Now, please turn to slide 4. Neo Performance Materials is a global leader in the innovation and manufacturing of rare earths and rare metal-based functional materials, which are essential inputs to high-technology, high-growth, future-facing industries. About 50% of its business is MagnaQuench proprietary powders for bonded and hot-formed magnets that are used in high-efficiency electric motors, for growing applications such as electric vehicles and robotics. Another 31% is focused on rare earth chemicals and oxides, including products for autocatalysis. NIO is the only non-Chinese company with a license to separate rare earth in China, and it also has a rare earth separation capability at their plant in Estonia. The remaining 19% of NIO's business is focused on rare metals, which is used in high-growth applications such as LED lights. Geographically, NIO's business is quite diverse. Its large footprint in Asia broadly complements Luxfer's smaller presence in the region. NIO is quite profitable. On a trailing 12-month basis, adjusted revenues of $454 million generated an adjusted EBITDA of $69 million US. In addition, the business is characterized by high cash conversion and has relatively low capital needs. Please turn to slide 5. We have known NIO for many years and developed a strong appreciation for NIO's overall value proposition. I have personally visited their core factories and have met most of their leaders. I am convinced that there is a strong cultural fit between the two companies. The acquisition of NIO passed through our disciplined process for capital allocation. In addition to high profit margins, the business is scalable, and we believe there's a path to further increase sales, profitability, and cash flow. NIO plays in strong growing end markets with favorable underlying trends. Growth in magnetic powders is estimated at 6 to 12%, and similarly, demand for rare earths is projected to grow at 4 to 8%, driven by increased use in LED lighting and other new emerging technologies. These trends enhance Luxfer's overall growth profile. Financially, the acquisition is attractive on all metrics, such as ROIC, IRR, earnings accretion, etc. Now, please turn to slide 6. Combined with electron and gas cylinders, Luxfer will have 4 reporting segments upon completion of the transaction. Rare metals, chemicals and oxides will comprise 30% of annual sales. Gas cylinders and MagnaQuench will each comprise roughly 25% of annual sales, and the remaining electron segment will constitute about 20%. In rare earths, NIO is a leading producer of the primary 5 rare earth metals, each playing increasingly important roles in the development of new products and technologies. NIO also has a strong chemicals and oxides business with innovative products for catalysis, multi-layer ceramic capacitors, wastewater treatment, and high-precision optics. It complements Luxfer's own zirconium chemicals business, and the combination will create a more innovative player in this attractive space. Rare earths also play a key role in the development and production of rare earth magnets. NIO is a clear leader in magnetic powders for bonded rare earth magnets. These high-performance magnets are well suited for use in precision motors, sensors, and actuators. Smaller and lighter compared to ferrite magnets, magnets made from MagnaQuench powders are gaining increasing use in automotive applications, consumer electronics, and robotics, where size, weight, and shape are critical for the performance of the products. Now please turn to slide 7. NIO enhances Luxfer's global scale and further diversifies our business. It gives us greater presence in high-growth Asian markets. Due to this combination, revenue from Asia will increase from 10% to 33% and will create greater balance with North America and Europe. The acquisition adds production and sales capabilities across North America, Europe, and Asia. In Asia, NIO has production, sales, and research facilities located in Singapore, China, South Korea, Japan, and Thailand. As a result, Luxfer will gain vertical integration for sourcing rare earths, which will be used downstream in Luxfer for catalysis and other products. We are excited about NIO's R&D facilities across the world and believe it will bolster Luxfer's capability in this important area to ensure the ongoing vitality of the company. Now please turn to slide 8. On a combined basis, we will have multiple avenues for organic growth and value creation. In addition to continued growth in existing products, we can enhance the introduction of innovative customer-driven products with a strong R&D foundation. Increased geographic diversity will enable cross-selling opportunities and enhance our ability to serve our customers worldwide. By focusing on the principles of Luxfer Best, we will drive further improvement in operational efficiency as well. Now, let me turn the call over to Heather. Heather, please go ahead.
Thank you, Alok. Now please turn to slide 9 for a brief financial overview. Based on the trailing 12-month results, the combined companies had sales of $947 million and adjusted EBITDA of $148 million before synergies. With net debt estimated at approximately $311 million, leverage at close is expected to be less than 2x adjusted EBITDA. Please turn to slide 10 for a summary of the transaction terms. Luxfer has agreed to acquire NIO for $600 million U.S. dollars. NIO shareholders will receive $5.98 in U.S. dollars and 0.395 shares of Luxfer stock for each share of NIO stock they own. The purchase price is approximately 8x adjusted EBITDA before synergies. The transaction is subject to customary closing conditions, including shareholder approval of both companies and regulatory clearances. Following completion of the transaction, current NIO shareholders will own approximately 37% of Luxfer shares, including about 24% by Oaktree Capital, NIO's majority stakeholder. Oaktree has signed a voting support agreement and entered into a lockup agreement on their Luxfer shares. Following the transaction, Luxfer will have approximately 43.8 million shares outstanding, up from approximately 27 million today. To help fund the cash portion of the transaction, we have arranged a financing commitment of $375 million in the form of a Term Loan B, which will also be used to fund transaction expenses and refinance existing debt. The terms on the loan, which is covenant light, will enable rapid repayment with no penalty. In terms of the timetable, proxies seeking shareholder approval will be circulated during the first quarter of 2019. We expect to close the transaction, assuming clearance of regulatory reviews, during the second quarter of 2019. Please turn to slide 11. Here we see the pro forma financial profile of the new combined entity. On a trailing 12-month basis, Luxfer had $947 million in revenue. Adding $15 million in synergies, primarily from the elimination of duplicate public company costs, the combined entities had $162 million in adjusted EBITDA. We estimate net debt around $311 million at the time of close, resulting in net debt to EBITDA leverage of less than 2. The acquisition of NIO effectively doubles the size of our business. Because we are adding a capable and proven management team, we are confident in our abilities to manage the transaction, as well as continue to deliver value through the transformation of Luxfer's current electron and gas cylinder segment. So let's focus on synergies and turn to slide 12 for more detail. Within the first 2 years of the combination, we expect to achieve $15 million in hard cost synergies. We estimate the elimination of duplicate public company costs will yield $12 million in cost savings. Vertical integration of the sourcing for rare earths and improved utilization of shared services will deliver an additional $3 million in cost savings. Importantly, the calculation on synergies explicitly excludes benefits from implementing lean manufacturing and distribution improvements, any growth synergies from improved geographic coverage, and any treasury or tax efficiencies. These are all areas of potential opportunity. These synergies are in addition to our prior profit commitments. We've previously announced our $20 million net cost savings plans and are already executing on these initiatives to drive efficiencies in our existing facilities by 2021. Now let me turn the call back over to Alok.
Thank you, Heather. Please turn to slide 13. With the new acquisition, we remain mindful of the need for disciplined capital allocation. I am very pleased that within a short time, we have made significant progress at Luxfer on accelerating productivity, driving organic growth, and strengthening our balance sheet that gives us the capacity to pursue this acquisition. Going forward, our capital allocation priorities remain essentially the same, whereas our first priority would be to deliver internal improvements, including capturing synergies from this transaction. We will continue to make appropriate investments to accelerate growth while deploying excess cash towards debt paydown so that we continue strengthening our balance sheet. For the near term, our focus will be the integration of the current acquisition. However, we will continue exploring divestitures and potentially small bolt-on acquisitions that meet our strict and disciplined acquisition criteria. Please turn to slide 14. Just like the progress we are making in current Luxfer, we are confident in our ability to build value in the combined business by implementing our Luxfer Business Excellence Standard Toolkit. By putting the customer first and focusing on developing a high-performance culture with accountability, we can drive higher levels of performance across the business and deliver on the integration value proposition. Now please turn to slide 15 for a summary. Fundamentally, the underlying reasons for investment in Luxfer are the same as before. NEO accelerates our strategy to become a more meaningful global player in highly engineered advanced materials. With the transformation of our business solidly underway, we are using our financial strength, strong cash flow, and disciplined capital allocation process to add to our business a complementary, synergistic product line. Together, we have a greater opportunity to enhance shareholder value for both companies. Thank you for listening. We will now take any questions. Operator?
Thank you. At this time, the floor is open for questions. If you wish to ask a question, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. If at any point your question has been answered and you wish to remove yourself from the queue, simply press the pound key. Again, to ask a question, press star one. Our first question comes from Lana Phil Gibbs of KeyBank Capital Markets.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning, Phil.
How much of NEO is new to what you currently do versus, call it a complementary or synergistic product line like zirconium?
You know, it's about an 80-20 where there's 20% that has overlap with kind of what we do today, and 80% of that is new. So the MagnaQuench business would be kind of new to us, and then there's overlap within the CNO segment.
Okay. And then when you talk about your synergy bucket, Heather, you had $15 million, and you said that could be potentially conservative if a couple other things come to fruition. I think that was what you had talked about a few minutes ago. And then secondly, in that question, do we still have the $20 million of net cost savings to think about on the legacy business prior to making this deal? Are those still intact, or are we going in a different direction now?
So, Phil, good morning, and we're maintaining, first of all, to answer the second part of your question, the existing $20 million plan. As you know, through the first three quarters of this year, we had already executed a little less than five of that. So the $20 million in total from a 17 base is still intact. The $15 million synergies related to the NEO deal that we've announced today is on top of the 20 million. And certainly when we did our modeling, while we certainly believe there's additional opportunity, as I mentioned, specifically in the area of geographic expansion, tax and treasury, and lean manufacturing or distribution cost savings, we haven't built that into our model at this time.
Which pieces haven't you built in, I'm sorry?
Any growth synergies on geographic expansion, lean manufacturing, improved distribution, and any tax and treasury efficiencies.
Okay. And then just lastly, question for Alok. How did this come together? I got the impression that you all were thinking about bolt-on acquisitions as part of your strategy over the next couple of years, but something of this size is not something that I was pondering in terms of the core of the story. Was this something that just came about, recently, or was it something that you had been pursuing for a while, just hopeful to get some clarity on valuation? Just some background around this could be helpful. Thanks.
Sure. So, I mean, we have known Neo for quite a long period of time. So, I've visited their factories. We have met their management team. We are in common business areas. So our team has known Neo for many, many years. And I've personally known about Neo for over 12 to 15 months so far. I think this came about more from a perspective of as we were looking to add on to our current portfolio, especially around the zirconium side. They seemed to make a lot of sense from a structure perspective of the two shareholder group. Both of us are thinly traded, small cap, one traded on Toronto Stock Exchange, one on New York Stock Exchange. And when we looked at the overall possibilities of focusing on our customer and product and not having duplicate public company cost, and then the added benefits of combination in the overlapping business segment, it just started to make a lot of sense. So we have been talking with each other for a while, but it only recently started becoming more solid and more quantifiable, especially given some of the primary owners or the majority owners' desire to be in a more liquid stock. But we are very excited about the business combination. As you know, from even our magnesium side of the business uses a lot of rare earth. And in the past, spikes in rare earth and all had been a significant issue for Luxfer. And now we feel we'll be more primary in that, and we'll be able to manage that much better.
And then last question for me, Alok. Are you keeping the current management team at Neo intact, or is part of your synergy piece to reduce some of that? Thanks.
First of all, I think the Neo management team is very experienced, quite qualified. I met the business unit leaders, some fabulous people, some strong leaders. But, the full answer to the question will come through only after we have completed a detailed review and have had lots of joint sit-down discussion with the team. Our goal is obviously to retain the best talent, and we'll strive hard towards that. But from a public company cost perspective, and that being on the big synergies, clearly there'll be a shakeout there.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from one of Christopher Moore of CJS Securities.
Hey, good morning. Thanks, guys. Maybe just stay with that. In terms of, you had mentioned, Alok, that this is the only non-Chinese company to be able to separate rare earth in China. Can you talk about that a little bit? Are there any implications to that with the combination of the two companies?
I think there's no major implications besides giving us lots of visibility into kind of the underlying supply chain. Now, frankly, the market share for Neo in the overall rare earth processing is small. The majority of it is done by Chinese-owned enterprise. And where this becomes especially helpful is in managing our own supply chain and being able to use this material internally for application, whether that be in MagnaQuench or in magnesium electron or in our zirconium businesses. We should also mention that while strategically it's a very important capability, financially it's only a small portion of the overall business.
the actual processing of rare earth in China. So, you know, we did a full risk analysis on this and really like the strategic capability and the fact that the financial exposure there is limited.
Gotcha. Can you maybe talk a little bit, who are their big customers? Are there a few big customers out there at this point in time, or how will they kind of combine with Luxfer?
So in some cases, you know, we have shared customers, especially when it comes to folks like 3M, Umicore. I mean, you'll find a lot of shared customers in those areas. In other cases, especially around MagnaQuench, you know, they work with some really large customers like Dido, like Dyson. So they have quite a few of those customers that are unique and different as well. So I think there's this overlap in probably 20% of our business, and we have some shared customers. But they have some really good marquee customers with strong long-term relationship there.
And how do they sell primarily? Is it mostly direct, or how will that kind of dovetail into Luxfer?
Very similar to us, mostly direct.
Gotcha.
So from that perspective, there's good cultural fit between the organization on mostly direct selling.
And just in terms of, you touched on a little bit, but from NEO's perspective, when they looked at this acquisition, you know, can you, you know, kind of talk a little bit about their thought process and why Luxfer was so attractive to them?
You know, I mean, frankly, they did a lot of due diligence on us as well, given a large portion of this transaction is in stock. And I believe they saw similar, like, you know, findings. They had similar findings to what we did. It's a strong cultural fit. You know, all of the product lines, whether it's NEO or Luxfer, they have strong market positions in relatively small markets. So they have large market position, market share in small markets, and that's kind of a common feature across both the companies. I think both companies generate a significant amount of cash and high cash conversion, and they saw that as well. And I think what was quite attractive to NEO as well, to be able to be part of a bigger company and leverage the geographic synergies, because NEO is more heavily weighted towards Asia and Luxfer was more heavily weighted towards North America and Europe. So I believe they saw similar things, and it was just seemed to be from both sides a very good fit.
Gotcha. What kind of growth have they had revenue-wise over the last few years?
You know, the MagnaQuench business has been growing quite well. They're kind of close to double-digit growth in that business. The CNO business, it's a bit dependent on pricing, but that's also been steadily growing over the past 4 to 5 years, especially as they gain share in the autocatalysis business. So I would say, yeah, their growth profile has been quite healthy.
And last question for me. Oak Tree, how long have they owned their stake in NEO?
They've been in the company about 3 to 4 years. It's complicated because they got in through a distressed debt situation, which is what they primarily do. And they went public about a year ago, I think. And Oak Tree maintains a portion. And Oak Tree is very excited about being a significant shareholder in Luxfer. They're converting majority of the holdings into Luxfer. That shows their confidence in our combined company going forward.
Gotcha. All right. I appreciate it, guys. Thank you very much.
Our next question comes from the line of Scott Fromson of CIBC.
Good morning. Just two quick questions. What approvals are required specifically in China, please?
You know, there are no specific – so, again, we are working through a lot of these issues, and the lawyers have got lots of right. But we don't expect any specific regulatory requirements in China still to be proven right now. But from a broader question, there are a few geographies like Germany and Japan where we know we are required to file regulatory antitrust clearance. Besides that, there are no other regulatory requirements that we are aware of. But this is still under analysis and consideration.
So no MOFCOM China approval?
That is correct.
Okay. And a question, I know it's a bit more for the NEO guys and the Oaktree guys, but was there a formal process run by the NEO and Oaktree teams?
Well, this was a negotiated transaction, so we did not participate in a process. But if there was a process run, we were not aware of it.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Mac Whale of Cormark Securities.
Hi, good morning. Just a couple questions. One, are you thinking of keeping the listing in Toronto, or is that how one of the paths to the synergies on the G&A?
You know, we are, again, going to use the best talent across both the companies. But as we sit here today, we don't have a clear answer. We would want to do a little bit more diligence, understand the relative strengths and the benefits of different locations. But clearly, one of the synergy items is lower public company cost. But I don't think we are in a position today to tell what happens to any of the individual locations.
Okay. And just following up on NEO, just in terms of the various verticals, they're moving, particularly in magnetic powders, further downstream and doing even motors and moving from just the powders themselves, or not motors, but magnets. Is all of what Luxfer is acquiring going to be retained, or is there some portions of it you think you might divest further down the line?
At this stage, we have no plans to divest any of the product lines, and I mean any of the large ones. There may be smaller ones that may prop up, but we like the three core businesses. I think for MagnaQuench, getting into magnet manufacturing, especially for some of their core customers in Europe, I think it's a good logical next step, and I think it's the right strategic direction for them to play in, and I think that's quite a good step that we are supportive of. And at this stage, we don't see any immediate divestitures on the product lines coming into the company.
Okay. Thanks for taking my questions.
As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Again, that is star one. Our next question comes from one of Phil Gibbs of KeyBank Capital Markets.
Hey, Alok and Heather. I haven't had time to run the math, but I know your guidance for the year was about $1.65 or so in earnings. If we just took the pro forma for NEO before synergies with the financing that you have in place or expect to have in place, what is the assumed or implied earnings accretion from that?
The interest rate obviously will play a big portion of that, and we are run different scenarios on that. So, right now we look at this as up to a 15% accretion overall. But
you look at it as what? I'm sorry, Alok.
15%. So.
Okay.
Mid-teens accretion, but some of that will come down to as we finish locking down the exact interest rate. As you know, that makes a big difference on it. So.
And then. If the synergies are included, what does that accretion number go to?
So that number was with the synergies, although in the first year we have modeled only less than half of the total synergies. So, but that number did include synergies.
Oh, the 15% did include synergies, and excluding synergies, what would it be?
Excluding synergies, it's because the first year synergy number is pretty low. It's still double digit, but right around double digit, so it'll be 10%.
So year one, you're saying right around double digits with the assumption of modest synergies, and by the end, 15% with synergies. So high single, low double digit year one, year two, assuming no growth. Is that right?
That's right.
Okay. Thank you.
Our next question comes from one of Yuri Link of Canaccord Genuity.
Just a quick one for me. Is there a break fee?
Yes, there is a break fee contemplated in the transaction, and we will be filing the plan of arrangements along with the 6K so you can see some more details in that.
Okay, but it sounds like you can't share with me what the break fee is.
It's 3.5% of the total equity value of the deal.
Thank you.
And at this time, there are no further questions. I'd like to turn the floor back over to Doug Fox for any additional or closing remarks.
Thank you. And thank you, everybody, for joining us today. We look forward to keeping you apprised of progress on the deal and moving toward its closure expected in the second quarter of 2019. Also, Alok, Heather, and I will be around if you want to if you have any follow-up questions that we might be able to answer. So with that, have a good day.
An encore recording of this conference call will be available in about 2 hours. Telephone numbers to access the recording will be available on the Luxfer website at www.luxfer.com. Thank you for joining us today. The next regularly scheduled call will be held in March when the company discusses its 2018 fourth quarter financial results. This ends the Luxfer conference call.